Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Well, that's all for you, Luke Skywalker, Skullwalker, whatever, forget. And don't you forget it.
What's going on?
I tell you what, I've been wearing this, and I've had to. Let me get it off here. Ah!
Need some help? You good? Or?
The air quality has been horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to follow that, and along with the weather, which is...
If you're out there middays, the last several days, it's, from like 9 to like 5 in the afternoon, it's just brutal. You just can't walk around out there.
And I can tell a lot of difference, too, when I put this on and when I don't. I don't know what the difference is. It's just the air is thick. The only problem with it is that it's a little bit skittish about wearing it in public, like, driving in the car.
Yeah, what people...
I wanted to wear it when we take the dogs for a walk every morning. I haven't for the last week because of the weather. Of the temperatures, but I'm afraid I'd get arrested.
But it works, though? I mean, you feel a difference?
Yeah, it's a nice, simple little thing. One of those Amazons bits. I'm afraid. I figured it out, though. I wore it this morning coming up in the car, and I figured what I'll do if I get pulled over, by a policeman saying, what's this guy wearing a mask for? He must have pulled off some bit of skullduggery. I would simply say, officer, I'm a member of Antifa, Progressive Goon Squad. And I'm cruising around. I'm looking for an elderly person with a Trump hat on to beat up. And the officer says, well, okay, sir. Well, go right ahead. Now, the officer is probably, churning in embarrassment. Yeah. But, again, orders are orders. And as we know, in Portland, the mayor and the police chief ordered the officers to let these people beat up people. So I don't know. I haven't heard of that happening in New Jersey.
Well, one more day of your mask. The weather's going to break tomorrow after thunderstorms tonight, and it should be a nice, dry, cooler weekend for you so you can put the mask away from you.
That's what they all say. July was the... you can't believe anybody. July was the, warmest month the world has witnessed since record-keeping began more than a century ago. That's from the European Union's Climate Change Service.
Not only around this area, but...
The whole world.
But worldwide, yeah.
So people argue about climate change. I don't know why there's an art. What I do understand is commercial reasons. There's no doubt that there is climate change. And there's been climate change, I guess, for how old is there? 4 billion years.
Right. Well, the glacier used to come down this far south, right? So it's been changing.
We'd be under 2 miles of ice.
Yeah.
Back in, 12,000 B.C.
Yeah.
Or 12,000 years, in the same general area. But it always happens. But I think the question is, the debate is, are we abetting it? Are we helping it?
Hmm.
Or what is the percentage of blame for it, what we are doing? And I think certainly we're not doing anything to help it. On the other hand, we're in one of these terrible double binds. If we follow the stringent course of trying to deal with this, our share of it and cut it back, then we are going to mess up the world economy.
Right. So you got to,
So, do you want people to eat?
Find a happy medium.
Or swelter, I guess, is the thing there.
I've had this thing about climate change and things. Recycling. Do you think recycling or lack thereof has an effect on any sort of climate change?
I don't know. The recycling, again, see, everything becomes commercial ultimately. I'm getting notice now from the local recycling people that there are certain things that you used to be able to recycle that you can't anymore because the Chinese aren't buying it.
Mm.
So much of the stuff that we recycle ends up being bought by the Chinese. Now the Chinese are getting very picky about what they get.
Because just here in this country, I obviously a lot of areas have mandatory recycling, private recycling, but I'm not noticing like commercial, widespread commercial, like offices. I mean, maybe there's some voluntary offices that have a recycling program or recycling officer, but I mean, widespread, how much commercial waste is not recycled? Cans, bottles, plastics?
Yeah, but there's got to be a lot of it going on because look at how many things you get that say made from recycled material. There's a little icon that they have there.
Yeah.
So let's see. All right. Let's hear from you. This is what we're here for. Any questions you have or comments, you want to say something, you want to poke a stick in our cage, it's all fair game. Steve Krause. Steve says, we call climate change Mother Nature. No such thing as man-made climate change. I think that's right, but I think we have man-abetted climate change, what we're doing in addition. There are books. I have a book. I haven't gotten that far into it. That deals on warming, and okay. It goes through the historic times that we know about when there's been warming. Matter of fact, we are here because of global warming, in a sense, because when we came out of the Ice Age,
right,
and life was terrible up through most of the so-called Dark Ages, getting into the Middle Ages, and it started warming up in about the 8th, 9th, 10th centuries, and that opened it up to agriculture, so you could grow more food, more people could eat, therefore people were reproducing.
Right.
And that was because the climate had warmed up. The ground was soft enough that you could actually plow it. Somebody invented a real working plow instead of a forked stick that you jammed at the earth with. Talking about that sort of a interesting story. And I mentioned this morning when we were communicating. A world leader has come up with a surefire cure for environmental problems. And this was I'm going to read this the way it is. The president of Brazil, whose name is Jair Bolsonaro, was responding to people criticizing the deforestation of the Amazon. You know how that is. Their commercial interests are killing the trees, which are in return being bereft of oxygen that they produce, which will eventually end up, people think, could kill us. Now, of all the solutions we have and all these green proposals and plans we have, this is the one that may actually work. And I say that because I have, of course, all respect for world leaders, and of course this man is. Here is what he said, being criticized for not stopping some of the environmental vandalism, if you want, this going on. His proposal, and I'm just going to read this now, I didn't come up with this, he said, if people would poop every other day, it would be best for the whole world.
I wish I could.
but think about that now. What if that'd be mandatory? They have the poop police out, or else you get it divided up into even days and odd days,
that'd be
old gasoline rationing.
Your turn today.
Your turn today. I always got a kick out of that. Scatological things. I grew up kind of in a rural area. Mm-hmm. So scatological things, what humor of the farm is always there. But I always got a kick out of this this thing that the ozone layer was being depleted, part of this, what we're talking about, the environmental destruction, by sheep flatulence, which I notice now the United Nations came out asking people to eat less meat. And because they said that having all of these animals around, they called it belching. Hey, belching, somebody tell them on there. I said, you go belch on a crowded elevator. You do it the real way, nobody pays any attention. You do it the other way.
Right. And don't do it in church.
Or in church, you got a problem. You got a real, you sit in own pew, as Confucius said. If bovine belching destroyed the ozone layer, how come there wasn't a huge hole over the American Midwest when we had, 20 million buffalo roaming the plains back in the old days for centuries?
They could belch it up, too,
They could sure do it. And I just get this, you must imagine what it sounded like.
Sound like a choir, probably.
You think a thunderstorm was coming.
Off key.
Now, here's something, another thought that I led to there. That maybe the president of Brazil was misquoted. And the reason I say that, there are a couple of incidents, Bob, you may remember, in which American English was misquoted when translated into Spanish or the Latins.
Right.
One was the Chevy Nova. This is real. The General Motors, remember that?
I know.
General Motors
going
decided they were going to market the Nova, N-O-V-A, the Nova, in Central and Latin America. Because it was a good little small car, and they had crowded cities, so maybe it would maneuver better. It was economical to run. All these big signs up with a picture of the car and Nova, but nobody bought one.
Because?
And they couldn't figure out why. Because?
Because Nova translated means no go.
No go. The other one, and it's my favorite, Purdue was going to market chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you hear that
no,
one?
No, no.
Purdue was going to market chickens, and they had this. So either the people who translate this have a great sense of humor, or they are somewhat incompetent. But here was the translation. Purdue, the slogan that they had at the time that you might remember is, it takes a tough man to make a tender chicken.
Tender chicken, right.
Well, it came out on these big billboards in Latin America. It takes a tough man to, there was a very naughty word, a tender chicken. Something that I don't think Frank Purdue ever did. I'm not sure about that. Let's hear from some people here. This is from Vaughn. All the pressure on automakers, yet meanwhile all the jets are spewing incredible emissions.
Yeah. Good
this
point.
This is correct.
Don't you love those politicians that go to these environmental summits?
Yes, yes.
On their private Lear jets?
Yeah.
And who was spewing gallons and gallons of jet fuel into the atmosphere?
We had one time Nancy Pelosi, when she was speaker the first time, had a comment or commanded for herself some big, large military jet
that
burned huge amounts of fuel. Mm-hmm. And she would ride it all alone to California and back every weekend.
And yet it begs to ask the question, couldn't you have flown commercial?
Yeah. Al Gore. This is a great one, too. He is the great, Myrmidon of conservation and the... He was going to speak at a meeting in Sweden, and it was in the winter. And when he went into the building to speak, he was in there for 2 hours, left his car running in the parking lot the whole time, so it would be warm when he got out. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that is a big hypocrisy there.
Guess a good one. Kelly says, we have no clue how to really recycle. Half the stuff we put in recycling bins can't be used. This is correct.
That's a good point, Kelly.
This is correct. And the terrible things that people put in there. They're abandoned kitty litter boxes.
Right.
And you can see, especially some of these condo or apartment complexes, if you look at the dumpster, people throw everything in there. They just, see, it's the thoughtlessness.
Right. But there are so many things. I've seen a couple of stories where there's so many things that can be recycled that aren't because people don't understand. I mean, cardboard, but you have to take the time to sort it out. And a lot of towns don't have the capacity to accept all of these recyclable products.
Well,
I mean, lucky they take cans and paper.
It's just the total indifference of people that they can mess up the whole program.
Yeah. You know,
I watched a piece, and they were showing some of the stuff that people pulled out of it on an assembly line in a recycling plant. Well, they came out with more stuff taken off that belt than ended up on it.
That's true. You know, we lost our station recycling officer several years ago, remember? Joe Bradford?
Oh, yes.
Joe was a one-man recycling team. He used to come in, and the station didn't have any policies or no laws that you needed to have one, but Joe instituted his own, and every day he'd go through the station and pick up all newspapers. He'd go through people's waste baskets and pick up papers and things like that. I mean, the guy was just incredible with what he did.
And we used to chuckle at him. However, unless everybody was like that, you're not going to get anywhere with the recycling.
Right.
I guess it
what
helps
What do you do
some.
When he's on vacation? I mean, he did his part, and it's just a shame that more people don't do that.
Dead animals people throw in there?
Really?
You know, their cat dies, they toss it. Oh, yes, they found things like that in there.
Poof.
The bank, one of the banks that I had an account at, because I used to be able to take my change in and put it in a machine free, and it would come out, they stopped that. Because of the stuff people were putting in that instead of money. They had dead mice. Things that you can't really mention. Let's see. Antonio changes the subject a little bit. Antonio says, and a few other people, too, want to know if you have thoughts on schools charging for after-school activities and sports.
Yeah, Bill and I were talking about that on the air
Good.
This morning.
You handle that because I'm not that familiar.
Well, we were talking about what you want to talk about. You want to get to the property taxes and the disgrace of that 100-plus-year-old lady from Cranford. But then Bill went to the next level and says, and a lot of these school districts today, he took a lot of calls about them charging for school activities, for cheerleading, for... a sport for robotics. It's costing hundreds of dollars, maybe a couple of times, a couple of thousand dollars for parents to pay for these school activities in addition to what you're paying in these astronomical property taxes.
I think
what Antonio's referring to.
My immediate response is that there is so much waste in the education industry that these things could be easily covered.
Right.
But you can't, because the waste is locked in contracts of one sort or another, purchasing benefits, salaries, and the like. And I don't know what you could do about that. The schools...
I think they're trying to recover some of their monies, because a lot of it's going for salaries and for benefits.
Well, that is the problem. That's why I say it's locked in. They can't change that.
Right.
And nobody's going to say, look, we'll cut back on this. We will adopt a statewide contract for employees instead of, what, 600 and some school districts. And we will cut back purchasing, where you buy something for what it's worth rather than 10 times what it's worth.
Right.
Because some politically connected company got the contract for it. And each school has to do it individually. There's nothing central. There's so much waste in it.
And the school...
The only thing my reaction would be for Antonio is I'd love to see it. And these are things that schools always did cover. And I'd like to see it continue. But, there was an intermediary stage here. And that was when the schools started sending kids out selling stuff.
Okay.
To make money. I think that went from everything being provided through the school budget to that next step, and then the PTA ladies had to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always been money raised for these activities.
And some of the larger activities, I know a lot of sports activities, they have the kids going door-to-door hawking discount cards or wreaths or candles or kinds of products.
We had a child killed doing that. He went to the wrong house, and a psychopath got him.
Right, that boy. I forget his name. I remember that. Yep.
But
another issue is the funding. I mean, a lot of these activities, sports, music, what have you, all of the teachers, and rightfully so, they're paid a stipend for these extra activities. You can't expect a band director to go out and run a marching band for free as part of their regular salary. They get a stipend for that season.
Well, why? Isn't that what he gets paid for?
No, he's getting paid for that 9-to-3 job.
But
these marching band jobs, I mean, some of these schools... Just and football as well. That's another full time job in itself. So I mean, they may get between $5,000 and $7,000 more a year, but the school district is supposed to be paying for that stipend. But now they're having budget problems, that's why these parents are having to pay or subsidize some of these activities.
I would suggest the possibility that you consider what was going on and what the economics of running a school district were back when the school could provide all of these things, which they did years, and then see what has changed.
Yeah.
The activities haven't changed.
Right.
The amount of energy expended has not changed.
Yeah.
So,
but the demands on the band programs, because some of these are award-winning band programs or
football
programs.
Well, the school district, if people protest, the school officials, the superintendent, and the people are going to come wringing their hands over the plight of the poor school district. We just can't afford this anymore. Well, why can't you afford it? Well, we have all these expenses. Well, look, show me a copy of the contracts.
Right.
And let's see what's happening.
Or show us your budget lines. Let us understand. We're not stupid. We're your constituents. We're residents. We're consumers of the school districts. Show us where you're spending our money. And then maybe we'll understand a little bit more.
Well,
or a little bit better.
I don't know the answer to that. I do not know. Let's see. Somebody else says, problem of paying for sports is that families who are borderline, not poor enough to get reduced lunch, but the family has a hard time with a few more fees in their budget. Well, of course, this is true. That's where it's going to hurt. That's where it's going to sting.
Kelly,
a lot of people can't afford this. But if the school is running the program, Trenton or whoever is going to insist that this be done pro bono for these students. Then you get into a lot of corruption. Remember the school lunches in Elizabeth?
Right. Oh, yeah.
In which the superintendent of schools had cheated and was getting her child free lunches.
Right.
on the freebie list.
A lot of cheating. Hey, Dave's got a good point here.
Yeah.
Did you see that story this week, right?
Well,
they lifted the Governor Christie cap on
the
superintendent salaries.
Well they were getting around that. The cap didn't work anyway.
Yeah, they were getting around that anyway.
What they do is slipping the money under the table.
But now you can basically be out in the open and offer a base salary well over $175,000 a year.
Mm.
So
I don't have an answer to these questions. Have an answer?
No, they're great questions, and it's like it's a conundrum. What's going on?
What you have to do ultimately is separate when the Constitution says provide a thorough and efficient education. You make the point that this should be is not part of education per se, which is reading, writing, arithmetic, getting you all prepared to go out into the workforce, the old industrial education plan, which we still have. That's separate. And the other things are private. I mean, this would be maybe the stance they'd have to take.
Right.
And that if you want your child, well, it's like what the Little League sports.
Yes.
You have to pay so much for the equipment or be responsible for
the equipment. But that's outside the school system.
Yeah, I know that. What I'm talking about, they may end up having to separate these things.
Good point.
Saying, look, we have to provide a thorough and efficient education. There's nothing in there that says about sports programs or other programs, which are very worthy.
I'll tell you another point. Some of these school districts, and not all of them, and some of the towns, not all of them, are really venturing into these public-private partnerships with sponsorships. And in this day and age, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you get a big company like Pepsi, for say, to sponsor a sports program or something, and they just want some signage to get some advertisement in exchange for their goods and services. Why not? If you're cutting the bottom line, if it's going to be less out of the citizens' pockets and the parents and the kids' pockets.
Anna, hi Anna, thanks for your comments. While I don't agree we should be paying $4 million for illegal immigrants' tuition assistance,
that's for college,
which was a big story this
college,
week,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a bigger problem, our overblown education system. We spend over $38 billion to keep 585 districts and 1,200 superintendents. This is very true.
Anna, that's a staggering number.
All of these people have these thoughts, and all of these people have these very, very legitimate responses and complaints.
Yeah.
My question to you is, so what the hell are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
We've been doing this 30 years. We could have taken Anna's call 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Same thing obtained. Nobody's going to do it. Nobody does anything about it. And, well, what can I do about it? Well, again, it's tough. It's very tough. I mean, I couldn't do anything about it.
God knows I've been yelling enough. Rosemary's got a good point. If the superintendents were worth their salaries, the New Jersey school systems would be much better.
The idea is that the claim is that getting a good superintendent is very rare. It's like finding a rare coin or a rare stone or something or other. It is a precious thing, and that you have to shell out for it, or else the superintendents will go somewhere else where somebody will pay it. And no doubt somebody will. Mm-hmm. I know there were superintendents who were threatening to go to Pennsylvania, actually came up with offers of more back when the cap is about to be imposed.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, and I've said this repeatedly, we have 12, Anna brought up the stat, 1,200 districts here in New Jersey?
No.
Was it? 1,200
superintendents,
585
school districts.
Why do we have more superintendents than we have school districts? Why isn't there one for each school district?
Because you need a superintendent for, let's see, one school I remember had a superintendent for one wing, had a superintendent. No, really. They had the West Wing superintendent, the East Room. Then you have a superintendent of this, that, and something else.
Yeah. And you have assistant to the superintendents that oversee
A superintendent for... Oh, no, I'm talking about the principals now, not the superintendents.
Yeah,
that's the principals they had for the separate parts.
But again, I mean, these superintendents have assistant superintendents. Some of these school districts don't even have high schools, and they have superintendents. Why isn't there one superintendent or an assistant that's overseeing the combination of the school districts? I just don't understand. Mount Arlington. Up by me. They had a longtime superintendent. Now, this school district has one to two intermediate schools, no high school. They feed into Roxbury High School. They had a longtime superintendent. That person retired. Must have been making $175,000 to $200,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even consider merging the district in that level, but they replaced the position. So now they're back with another superintendent for the Mount Arlington District with two lousy school systems, as opposed to taking Roxbury's assistant superintendent, who doesn't do much, as opposed to just backing up the existing superintendent. So we have just such redundancy and such waste. And that happens in districts statewide.
It's frustrating because we spent 26 years, or I did, doing the morning program here. The Bill is doing very, very well now, and trying to take the torch and carry on with it. But you get into apathy, and the fact that people's political attitudes are ossified, And are you occasionally get something very rare, which is Chris Christie was elected to replace John Corzine, who was the Democrat, who normally would win hands down in a largely Democratic state. Well, I think that gets into another problem, but occasionally you do get something like that. But that turned out to be a huge disappointment, because after the first term, for all practical purposes, this governor who was going to reform things left.
Yeah.
So, okay, look, again, I would like to have a solution. I would like to have had a solution back then.
Yeah.
I'm looking back now, in 26 years of railing about these things, I'm trying to think of one success. And I thought of one the other day, but I can't remember what it is. It must have been a small one.
No, you've made a lot of... You know, you kept people's feet to the fire. We try to do that to this day here on the station, 24/7. And that's the best we can do. And if that's what you did a great job for all the time you were there.
Let me switch to something else. I want to get to comments on and get information for myself on some of these things. So I would say, but the big story on Eyewitness News was a big debate this week that went on the radio station about whether you should get out of your car at Wawa at the gas station and go inside to get your hoagie or your bag of pork rinds and an RC cola, whatever you do,
and
leave your car sitting there.
And clog up the pumps?
And clog up the people waiting behind you. What I don't understand, that to me is simple. No, you should not.
Right.
I mean, whether you should leave people waiting in a line like that, especially at a time when there is a line, when everybody's busy and out and about, while you go gallivanting in to look for the bathroom, I guess, if they have one, or to try to decide what you want on your hoagie, and let people sitting there, no.
Right.
I mean, so what's the debate? Why were people coming back supporting it? This is like saying, okay, should you spit in people's faces? No. It's the end of the story.
But I think we need legislation for that. I think we need to spend $40,000 to draft a bill.
And you have a bureaucracy.
Should we have it? And then we'll have a debate on it.
And you'd have the police doing it. But I understand this went on and on, and people were
going back and forth.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen that. They clog up the pumps. They'll just leave their car there, and the attendant is getting all furious because they're backing up at least two or three cars.
I don't go there. I could never understand this mania, this fetish that people have for cruising around, spending $10 worth of gas, looking for a place where they can save 2 cents a gallon. They do it. And I've questioned people. And God, I must have spent $5,
driving
down
around
here. Looking, but it was 3 cents cheaper. What? This is insanity.
Yes,
I've never done that. A caller says, what Rose Marie says, common courtesy is extinct. Donna says common sense is more extinct. You are absolutely right. There is no doubt about that. And you see, there's so much you could get into, and I could sit here, and unfortunately, I sometimes tend to get into philosophizing, going back. There are historic reasons, I think, that brought us to where we are, which is a mess. But one of the problems is not only common sense. In fact, there are books 20 years old on the death of common sense. And this is very, very true. Nobody uses common sense. Everybody goes by the book. And they find out if you go exactly by the book or what's politically correct, you're fine. See, Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice in Wonderland, came up with a great limerick. And this applies. He said, there was a man from Hong Kong who never did anything wrong. He lay on his back with his head in a sack and spoke not a word all day long. And that's what they're turning us into.
Yes.
There is no critical thinking either. I saw it. You have to forgive me for going on. See, I sit home all week, and I start observing, and I build up. And sometimes it's like an explosion occurs.
That's what we love about it.
And it's just all over the place. I am right now, my brain has 50 pounds of stuff jammed into a 20-pound bag.
Let it out, bro.
And I'm not going to tell you what the stuff is. You can pick that up. But I saw a magazine, and the headline, big headline, said, can anyone stop Trump's collusion with Russia in the 2020 election? Well, what does that say? That means it's a proven fact that there's going to be
that's
collusion.
It's already happening, right. Yeah.
But no, there's no evidence of that. And yet they're saying that, but you throw anything out at people, and people will buy it. Absolutely. It's like a giant ideological sewer factory is blown up.
Right.
And everybody's caught in the fallout of it.
Is it just me that, or are some people cheering for the country to go into a recession?
Certainly the opposition party, because mainly the Republican Party now, main campaign asset is the economy, which seems to be moving along pretty well. And so in order to upset that, they don't care if everybody's out in the street, you know, destitute, but this would be a weapon in the election against them, saying, okay, so if the economy's collapsed, ha, 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 put us back in, we'll save it. Now, they've always done that. As Charles Barkley, the great philosopher and basketball player, once said, the Democratic Party has been the party of the poor for, 85 years, and the poor are still just as poor. But nobody right. notices that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just jumping again. The weather. We're talking about the weather.
Yeah.
And we've had this series of storms. I get these alerts from AccuWeather.
Scares the heck out of you, right?
Yeah.
Your phone goes off.
We're talking about tornado warning. They're actually urging people to go to a safe place, go to the cellar, which I didn't do. Fortunately,
you're still here.
Somebody else, I made it through that. But it gets a little bit scary. But also we had this, remember the high wind? My power was out just because of a high wind.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What do they call it? Something force winds.
Gale force
winds. For 3 days. Something wind. But, and then we had another one, and I thought recently, and I figured out what it was. It was not the weather. This wind was caused, I think, by an enormous mass sigh of relief when Jeffrey Epstein passed away. Can you imagine the sighs of relief from people in all over the world in high places?
He had some stuff on people from what we're understanding. Yeah.
But the great thing is, all of a sudden, the old saying, dead men tell no tales, is, whew, what a relief.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think this is left to ex and current president.
I don't think it's over with yet, though.
Well, I don't know. See, these things blow over. Somebody will come up with something else to cover it up.
Yeah.
Because there is allegedly, supposedly, such a representation of the power structure of the world involved in that.
Mm, yes.
There's been an English commentator, a writer, David Icke, who's been saying this for years and naming names of all of these people. And he says, and it's amazing. But another thing, the business of shaming. Okay. See, everything is shaming right now. Now, we're familiar with fat shaming. This is supposed to be because you're not supposed to make anybody feel bad. For example, the fat shaming's gone so far. A college in California, of course, had taken down a sign at the dormitory telling students, take the stairs instead of the elevator, you will save so many calories. They had to take it down because of a big demonstration. You know, it got wild because that was fat shaming. But all the shamings, we get body shaming.
Mm-hmm.
We get, I heard slut shaming. You hear
really?
That? That's
been
used.
That's probably, on social media.
The gender shaming.
Right.
Age shaming.
Right.
Now, I got a new one here, sweat shaming.
Oh, if you sweat a lot, if you perspire, you stink?
No, what happened in this, set this off, is a woman who had been jogging, went into a Starbucks, and she was leaning on the counter sweating, and somebody in the line behind said something about it, not a bad thing, and all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. He's yelling, they're sweat shaming, they're demonstrating outside Starbucks or wherever it was.
What's the last one?
This story. Okay, I'm moving along as best I can.
No,
thank
I'm just
you.
Looking at that one there.
Yeah. All old people, or Christian shaming too, is big.
Okay.
Shaming people because they've announced that they are a member of this group or sympathetic with it.
Yeah.
Old people. Now, I love this one. This was a story of a couple of advanced years. I don't know how advanced. From what I saw, they were probably 10 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the waiter was... They had a big crowd of people in there, and the waiter was trying to keep everything straight. And at the top of one of the tickets, just to keep straight who was at the table, he just put on their old people. Mm. And somehow they saw it. It came back in the bill.
Mm.
they were so irate, they were raising hell, and they're getting everybody involved. And again, you get into picketing because he wrote old people.
Now, what did he mean by that?
What he meant was he was recognizing this table, this is where the old people are sitting. Otherwise, here's, you know, other people. It was an identification thing. Yeah. It never crossed his mind that was disparaging. Your waiter may have been old, too. I don't know.
Right.
You know, what is old? There's an old Buddhist, the Karen Buddhist saying, that it is wrong to confuse getting old with aging.
Right.
I mean, there's two different things. Yeah. So, and these people, I swear, I saw a picture of them, and they did look, you know, Methuselah, or whatever you call it. But the point is that everybody got so upset about that. I mean, it wouldn't bother me. You're not old enough to even have a say in this, except move on, right? I know what you're thinking.
I'm starting to get my cards.
I know what you're thinking. But anyway, the shaming thing is just... Now, what else we're talking about here?
Did you finish with the property tax thing with the elderly lady?
No, that is just extreme disappointment. Extreme disappointment. I had thought, very naively, once it became evident that the local officials, you know, whoever imposes the tax, let's say the officials, were going to, and it became evident that they were going to evict this lady, who was, 104, reportedly. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter her age, really. She'd had the house since the 1940s. She was elderly. Now, I don't know if some local tax person, if you said, hey, why don't you give her a free ride, for God's sake? She's paid taxes for, 60 years?
Right.
And she's done the best she can. So she's behind in her taxes. Why are you evicting her, for heaven's sweet sake? Just, and somebody should have risen up in a higher authority.
Yes.
I did not hear one politician say one word about it. Well, I guess the answer would be, she should get off her lazy butt and go to work. Come on, she's 104 years old. But I saw a glimmer, and this is my own fault. I was blowing smoke, you know, myself. This story that you would think that there would be some kind of an outcry.
Yeah.
Other than Bill Spady in the morning, right, here on the radio station, maybe Dennis and Judy, and maybe Bill and
Jeff.
And Jeff, I don't know. But I didn't hear anything other than that come outside it. What is the problem with people? Why do you put up with this? You don't have to put up with it. The only elected official I've ever heard talk about that was John Wisniewski, the assemblyman, during the Democratic gubernatorial primary, the last one. He was the only one that came up with that as a platform, as a plank on his platform, was that the state should provide this thorough and efficient service. He's absolutely right. Went right by. He obviously didn't get the nomination, probably because he didn't have enough money to buy it, as the incumbent no doubt did. And so it's, well, again, years of screaming about this, and it's just hard to get anybody to. If we had initiative and referendum, we'd get somewhere, but we don't.
People
should be yelling for that.
All the politicians are afraid of it.
Yeah. So this is, I guess, I was talking about the Californianization of New Jersey, the governor. We mentioned the governor. I saw a story this morning. I just saw it fleetingly on my way out of the house. California is being overrun with rats. Have you seen that?
Yes, I did. Los Angeles,
terrible
right?
Thing.
Los Angeles, right? LA. You got a lot of homeless out there. Same for San Francisco.
Well, you see, what happened with a lot of that is at one time somebody came up with this great law that says, oh, these people. See, a lot of the people who are so-called homeless, they're also mentally challenged, right, if you want. Now, they were all let out. We can't have institutions for them anymore where they could get care. Proper care.
Right, they've closed them.
Because we closed them down.
Yeah.
I think there was a Frontline story on public television about that one time. And it just threw them out on the street, talking about people being thrown out on the street, which is why this sort of popped up in my mind. But here's the thing with California and the rats. Now, we know that rats were responsible for carrying the fleas that caused the plague. Conditions, I have read, are pretty ripe for another spread of a pandemic like that, borne by rodents or animals or insects. There have been a couple of cases of the plague, the great bubonic plague, just isolated cases. So this is a possibility. The other possibility is that I had read that a person, I believe it was a minister, who ministered to these homeless, who were just packing the streets of San Francisco and Los Angeles, were told, while the state is spending all of its aid money for people on immigrants, and apparently not paying too much attention to the streets being smeared with refuse from these people, and the people's own health are out there, poor souls. But he contracted the flesh-eating virus somehow or other in that environment. Now, that's bad. You're familiar with that, of course. And we had one case in New Jersey. This person had to have his arm amputated. And I think on a leg. But he apparently is back out in the wheelchair trying to do it again. But this somehow, in that environment, he picked that up. Now, you could get a whole epidemic of that. And the case in South Jersey was really bad. A man got the flesh-eating virus from crabbing down in the Delaware River, down in South Jersey. They say that's where he picked it up. And he started losing one limb after the other. I mean, it's a horrible thing to try to get ahead of it.
Right.
And they never did get ahead of it, and of course he died. But when you start thinking about making New Jersey another California, you see what's going to happen. What is going to happen? I mean, not going to happen, but people have suggested that they separate the states, that we have another secession, but we do it peacefully. The blue state people form a union, and the red state people form a union. Now, the red states the blue states are largely on the coastal states,
yes.
Washington, Oregon, and California, New Jersey, New York, and the like on the east. So that could probably be done. And the center, of course, we have the red states, which are the conservative states, and separate them, make them into separate entities with their own laws, their own economies, their own cultures, which they could keep, and there'd be cooperation between the two. My prediction is that this could not last for one very simple reason. In the red states, the central states, life would go on, the economy would go on, much tradition would go on, just as ever, and they would probably become somewhat prosperous. There'd be manufacturing going on, there'd be a lot of agriculture going on. The blue states, the progressive states, would end up wasting what resources they had on social programs, and pretty soon they would be fighting the other states to survive.
Right.
They want to go in and pillage and plunder, or whatever it is, or want to be bailed out by them. So I think get that plan out of your head.
So George up here says he's just joining us here on Facebook Live. Do we have any mention of the governor this morning? He hasn't had his coffee yet.
He do not mention the governor.
That $4 million that they've appropriated for illegal immigrants' tuition?
Well, why does that surprise everybody? I mean, that was telegraphed they were going to do it. The goal is to have, free borders, open immigration, anybody who wants to come in and take what you can get. That is the goal. And when these people who subscribe to that particular ideology, that philosophy, when they get into some kind of power, this is what they're going to do.
Yeah. Far be it.
So my suggestion is that when we have another gubernatorial election, you think very hard about these things and see if you want that or not. Now, if you're electing somebody who calls himself a progressive, and I'm sure there are many fine people who are progressives, good people, but these would be the extremes. And yet you know pretty well that this is their politically correct ideology. This is what they are going to push for. So when do we have another gubernatorial election? I think it's going to be a couple of years. Yeah, it has to be a couple of years away, the presidential election.
Yeah, 21.
And the same thing with the presidential election. Think of what you want. And people have got to get over this knee-jerk thing. I'm going to vote for this particular party. Once you've lived in a town and paid taxes for 50 years, after 51st year, I guess, you should be exempt. Sure.
Right.
You should not have to pay the education part of it in the first place. Paying local taxes, fine. You have to do that.
Right.
You're getting law enforcement. most of us, and many of us, are getting garbage disposal.
I think that's very...
Occasionally they'll patch a hole in the street.
It's very, very fair.
And mine is fair. I don't like, you know, I'd rather pay less, but it's fair.
In a lot of towns, 60 or 70% of your taxes go to the schools.
Go to the school system, yeah. Which is becoming more and more simply an indoctrination system, but with not a whole hell of a lot of any... pragmatic use being taught.
30% is better
well,
than...
Well, how do you get a school district in New Jersey that's paying what, I think it's pushing $35,000 a year per head, per student, and the graduation rate is down close to nothing.
Right.
Down to 20% or something. Businesses feel this. I've had many people, especially in the building trades, say they can't hire somebody with a high school diploma because they haven't learned how to read warning signs. And if one of them does something and gets an injury, we get sued for it. Simply because they cannot read a warning that's, 6 feet high.
Right.
So, the assisted suicide bill has been thwarted, I understand. Okay. That's on what hold right now.
Right.
They had a provision in there that I wondered about at the time. And that provision was, this leads to a very cynical thought. And, of course, we're not cynical.
No, not at all.
I mean, we're certainly very open-minded about our officials, our leaders, and fully support them, of course. My legislature, right or wrong, you know, the old saying. But there was a provision in there that required a doctor to sign off on somebody who wanted an assisted suicide. And the doctor, if a doctor did not sign off on it, they would pass it on to another doctor.
Right.
And if he didn't sign off on it, presumably this would go on and on until they found a doctor who would sign off on it.
Yeah.
You could find a doctor who would do anything or anybody else if you go far enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you could get somebody to testify in court for anything, pay them enough money. So the cynical thought is that in as much as this is on hold, the state, whether you like it or not, ever thought of it or not, ends up making some money on this. Because every time in New Jersey somebody dies, there is an estate tax.
The exit tax.
And it's a big one, a healthy one. Yeah. There is an estate tax, and there are the so-called death taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the heirs get taxed.
Yeah.
So I just wonder how many people, they're not going to say this, but in the back of their mind, boy, this is going to be a whole lot of people go out and avail themselves of assisted suicide. It's going to bring in a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that could buy me a lot of votes if we spend that money when it comes in with certain, you know, programs.
Right.
It's a cynical thought. Okay, I'm sorry.
Now, good show tonight. Eric Scott's got next in our Town Hall series at 7 o'clock tonight. And the topic is child mental health services here in New Jersey. They'll have a panel of experts live on the air on New Jersey 101.5 FM at 7 o'clock and right here on Facebook Live. So
Eric, I've been doing this a long time, and I've worked with some very good people in the industry on many levels. Eric is the best interviewer I have ever encountered. Eric is ingenious.
And the entire news team
and the news
working
team,
behind
of course,
him. Yep, absolutely.
I've got just one more thing. We're probably getting toward the end of the marathon here. People are running in, handing us bottles of water. So say, time to get off the stage. You got to get like the gong show.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, we'll give Lou a crook. Something to ponder. I'll leave you thinking of this. The great liberal paradox. I don't know, Bob, what you think of this. The great liberal paradox. And this has to do with the guns. There's a great outcry, naturally, after these latest shootings.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to talk about how you control guns. I haven't the faintest idea. You got thoughts. Here is the paradox. 34 people. Well, this is horrible. This is tragic. But in 1 week, 34 people died in Gilroy, in El Paso, and in Dayton. And so something hits the fan, and everybody is out for condemning that, which you should. There's no doubt about that. The same week, this is all in a week, the same week, according to the Centers for Disease Control, there were 2,100 abortions performed.
Hmm.
So that is 2,100 lives gone,
lost,
thwarted or lost. And the same people who are apoplectic about the gun crimes are actually encouraged that. That, to me, is something of a paradox, something to think about.
It's absurd.
Also, how many people are yelling about Chicago? Was it last week they had 54 shootings in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
And it got so bad that the hospitals in that area had to stop taking patients. So if you were having a heart attack, or your wife, or your family was, you couldn't get them in that hospital because there were so many gun victims in there.
Selected outrage.
There are so many more things I wanted to talk about, but another time.
It's been fun.
We're getting invited.
As always.
Yeah, I should put my mask.
Put your mask on. You got to get out
I got to get out there.
All right.
And,
let me help you out there.
In the atmosphere.
All right, we'll get that.
Oh, good.
Let's see. Oh,
we got to
flip that around.
Oh, that's nice. The company provides a dresser for
go.
Me. Okay, have yourself. Oh, hopefully this is being recorded on Thursday. Hopefully this is the last day of that.
Of the bad weather. It's going to get better over the weekend, and clear skies, blue skies, and nice fresh air coming up.
Oh God! Oh, I can't wait.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt podcast.